We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to Inside Mizzou Athletics, presented by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Kelly.
Welcome to another edition of the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, presented by Shelter Insurance. For your auto, home, and life, visit your local agent. Find them on the web, shelterinsurance.com. Wear your shield. Warrior Shelter. I'm Mike Kelly. Matt Michaels is alongside as we get together for our weekly journey and conversation through the week that was.
Journey is an appropriate word, I guess.
It's kind of a route.
Sojourn.
Route. Sojourn. You're going sojourn.
Now you've made it my brand. I think that you have placed this upon me that I have to come with something new from the dictionary just about every week. So maybe I just get that out of the way.
Truncate coming up sometime.
Truncate. Sojourn.
Plausible scenario, yeah. Around the corner, perhaps.
Adventure. Lexicon. I pull it from the lexicon.
The lexicon.
Yeah.
Now, does the HP, your little buddy, does he provide the lexicon?
No.
And by the way, is that a male or female HP? Is it gender neutral?
I don't know. I haven't really decided.
I think,
we're still getting to know each other, so I don't want to speak rashly.
Okay. Good win last night for the Tigers as we tape this on a Wednesday morning. Which, by the way, the local meteorologists, they're kind of like, how do I say it, recruiting analysts? You know, where you just kind of throw it on the wall and hope it sticks. They said 50 today. Well, as we tape this at 11, it's still like 36 degrees. Some of us have plans for this afternoon, my friend. And it depends on how many layers that we might have to put on.
Well,
at
just
that point.
More and thinner layers, right? Just one more.
Hopefully.
But thin.
Good win last night for the Tigers, though. Started out 10-0, never relinquished the lead.
Yeah, and I felt that the tone set in those first 3 minutes of the game when they set up that lead was indicative of how the night would go. It looked like a team, to me, Mike, that really valued playing at home again after having time off due to COVID and then just the schedule bringing them to places other than Mizzou Arena. And I thought they played their most intent and cleanest start of a game against South Carolina, and it showed. And Carolina was without, you know, a center that would be a key cog of their team. And so Jeremiah Tillman has maybe a little bit easier road to it, but I thought that Tilly all night long was showing his maturation into the player that the rest of the SEC could look at and say, oh, that guy? We don't want to play that guy. I thought he was spectacular all night. And in that first 3 minutes, we saw it with layup, dunk. He had, what, 6 points in that 10-point run? And off and running they were.
You know, the thing that stands out is he's been Missouri's best player in conference play. Through five games in the SEC, he's been Missouri's most consistent player. He's also Missouri's leading scorer, averaging better than 16 points and 8 rebounds now in 5 SEC games. And when you think about the last two games, he played a season-high 33 against Texas A&M, played 32, 31, and 54 and change, something like that last night against South Carolina. So Jeremiah Tillman is not only maturing both on offense and defense, but he's also maturing in terms of his ability to play the game without getting into foul. And Konzo and I talked about this Monday night. Let's think back to that first possession against Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. They go to him, right, which they have done consistently now over the last several games, first possession going inside, playing finally the right way inside out. They go to him. Double team comes as he catches it on the right block, comes backside from the baseline. He recognizes it, pivots outside, and then splits the defense to get a little kiss off the glass. I mean, a year ago, that's a foul. He's probably picks up a personal foul 30 seconds, 45 seconds into the game.
I think what I've noticed about his play is he understands what his size is and what it means to other people, and that his size and presence means he doesn't have to use force. He can take a step backwards into someone and not have to make it a, oh, you're right there, I'm going to move you. No, you just move someone by you being there. If they happen to be in your way, that's their problem. Yeah. That's not yours. He has a much better spatial awareness on the floor, like you talked about. And I even think of plays. I watched him last night. I think it was midway through the second half, and Drew Smith ended up with an easy cut around a couple of defenders to the lane. Well, who was setting that pin down screen? It was Jeremiah. So he took his defender, he took the help side defender that's there worried that Jeremiah's going to get the ball, and they dragged through Drew Smith's defender, and then Drew gets an easy look right at the rim. That sort of stuff in the past has maybe been a, oh, well, you're playing it too hard, big man. But he just stood there, casual, and the play went right through it. And those little things are showing up, too, if you take a real close look at what he's doing. It's the best basketball he's played at Missouri, bar none.
He's shooting now 73% from the field in five conference games. His free throw percentage is up to 65. And, again, a double-double, second consecutive double-double, the ninth or the tenth of his career, the fourth of the season. And I honestly think with 19-10 that he got cheated last night. I thought there were several plays early where he was on the glass, you know, keeping the ball alive, you know, and he didn't get credited for offensive rebounds. I think they had him for two offensive rebounds last night. I think if you look at the tape, I think you're going to find much more. Because think of how active he was, not only in the offensive glass, how active he was defensively too, getting in, you know, hands out, deflecting balls, you know, blocking shots, had three blocks in the game. He's simply playing the best game, or the best basketball that he's played since he arrived, like you said a moment ago.
And from the Arkansas game, in which they run the play early, Pinson to Tillman, alley-oop, and they ran it again last night in the early stages. When Konzo Martin said then, that sets up everything we do in our offense, well, we saw what it looked like against Arkansas, right? They ran pick and roll, they ran two-man game, and they were able to keep their distance from Arkansas that way. Missouri right now can do that against a lot of teams in their league. And if they can't stop it or haven't shown ways to get around it, then you keep running it. And when they finally do adjust, that's when you can kick out and find open looks from three. And I thought Missouri making a few of their three-pointers last night also helped significantly. They were more judicious in what they took, but when they took them, they were mostly pretty wide open, and they found ways to get them
down.
Yeah,
you know, the interesting thing is only two guys hit threes, right? Drew hit two, Mark hit three. But to your point about the way that they've approached it. And again, back to the phrase inside out. Since Konzo Martin arrived, and since he brought with him Jeremiah Tillman, he has been talking consistently about, from an offensive standpoint, we have to play inside out. Mm-hmm. And the message at times got lost on the players on the perimeter. They've adjusted in that now they understand this is the way that we have to do is to play through Jeremiah, because when he's playing the way that he is, right, they're getting open looks on the perimeters because he's much more comfortable now passing out of a double team, pivoting and finding open guys, number one. But the other thing, too, that they're benefiting from when they play through him is that they have to double now, right? I mean, guys, you've got to double him down on the low post, which creates opportunities for others.
Double and occasionally triple. Right. And something that I recall, Mike, from the early stages of his career was a tendency to get that ball low on his hip when he took it in the block. We all remember team swiping, and there was an occasion last night where it happened, and I thought, man, we hadn't seen that in a while from Jeremiah, right? He catches the ball high. He takes it right at his chest. He understands where he is in relation to others. on the floor, and it just is a joy to watch. Like, this is obviously now the player that Konzo Martin, when he got Jeremiah Tillman in the program, thought he would be able to have. And now we just get to see how long he can make it run, and oh yeah, how he can build on it, because guess what? He's got three blocks in two straight games, and that has not been a pronounced part of his game in recent years. To see that is very encouraging.
Well, to your point, when's the last time you saw him get an offensive foul for hooking?
Yeah.
You know, because the ball's not coming down low. You get the ball down around your hips. What's the natural tendency to do? You want to take that free hand, whatever hand you're not dribbling with, you're going to hook the defender. He hasn't been called for that. I can't remember the last time he's been called for a foul like that. Nice to see Mark Smith, who was
yes.
4 for his last 21 in the last 5 games from the three-point line. Nice to see Mark for himself see the ball go through the net, officially 3 threes, unofficially 4 threes, because he had one taken away because it was late clock, and it was the right call, by the way.
Yeah.
But again, for a shooter to see the ball go through the net, that just bodes well. And as he said afterwards, he's been putting in work. He remained confident, and finally he got to see the ball go through the net.
And I think he realized, as a veteran player, there has to be something I need to do differently than what we saw his last time out, which was it was just disappointing to see Mark struggle so much in College Station and then to come back and have that success. And once he started feeling it, it's like you could see that switch for Mark. And he starts taking not only quicker-looking releases on the three, but also hit one through some traffic, hit a contested shot as well. And when you start seeing those go down, you feel your rhythm as a shooter again. And I think that bodes very well as long as the work keeps up and you continue to see successes in games, because Missouri has missed over the last, I think, few weeks, that Mark Smith run where you get 8 or 10 points in the span of 4 or 5 minutes when he has a stint on the floor. It just gives them that extra breathing room and extra space.
Well, and for the most part, through the first 5 games, it's been Jeremiah and who else, right? Jeremiah and X or Jeremiah and Drew. Rarely have they been able to get 4 guys going mm-hmm. offensively and into double figures. And I think about Drew's performance the last 3. Now, 3 consecutive games in double figures, after having 4 consecutive games with, I think, 6 points only, you know, against Texas A&M, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. Had 3 steals last night. Still leads the team in personal fouls, and he knows he's got to be better than that. But it's nice to see now you've got 3 guys going perhaps offensively a little bit. Got to get X going. You know, back-to-back games. He had a season-low 2 points last night. Again, continuing to commit high volume of turnovers when he's trying mm-hmm. to run the team. 5 turnovers last night. Struggles a little bit, still trying to stay in front of people at times, you know, in transition and dribble penetration. You know, hopefully he can get it going a little bit.
Yeah, and he did have a tough night last night, didn't he? It looked like he got maybe booted in the head on a fast break, and
you know,
he was down for a while.
Yeah, it was a shin. You know, he was falling backwards. It was play on the left side of the lane, and as he fell backwards from contact, he was falling backwards, and Pickett is trying to head the opposite way on a fast break opportunity. It was his left shin that got X in the back of the head.
And you know, he was down for a while after that. I was heartened to see him able to come back in that game, because certainly...
How about just excited, happy,
yeah.
heartened?
Well, I mean, happy, excited, heartened. It lifted spirits to see that X was going to be okay. I can't stop it. I can't turn it off, okay?
It's great. No, I love it. You're teaching me a vocabulary that I did not know. Drew Buggs, kind of, you know, you look at his shooting, right, and he's continuing to try to find it, now 4 for 20 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, you look at his numbers, and he understands what he is, right? He's a guard. He's a distributor. 24 assists, 7 turnovers on the season.
Was it his best game last night? I think it was.
Probably all around, right? I'd go there with you.
Because he needed to come in when Drew Smith picked up, remember, his second foul early in the game. It was about 5 minutes gone in the game, and Drew's got to go to the bench. Now, he came back later in the first half and played well and did not foul in that stint. But for a while there, you thought, we're going to see a lot of Drew Buggs tonight. And he showed his floor generalship. And I asked in the wrap-up show, I asked assistant Cornell Mann about that. He said, well, he is a floor general. That's what he should do. But to see him getting to the line then and adding to that, I think it was 4 of 5 by the time it was all done from the charity stripe, to see the 4 assists and to see the fact that you have a veteran who can come in when needed there and provide that same sort of tempo at the point position, I thought it was all around his best game, maybe his most comfortable game, and the Tigers will need more of that down the stretch. I feel certain to say that.
Yeah, there's something else they're going to need more of, right? And at some point in time, First of all, before I talk about, I was going to talk about Torrence Watson. I want to go back for just for a second. Mm-hmm. When you think about Frank Martin's teams, you think about big, physically tough teams, right? That are going to fight you for 40 minutes. And last night, Missouri, I thought, played bully ball with South Carolina. 40 points in the paint as opposed to 20 for the Gamecocks. I think of Kobe Brown on multiple occasions where he just, you know, used his body at 6'7 and 240 to attack and try to muscle his way and get to the glass. Was he effective? Yeah, he was effective getting there. Did he finish all the time? No, but that's the way Kobe's got to play, and you see him do it in practice all the time, and you're starting to see a level of maturation from him. I want you to think about this, and back to my original point. If I would have told you that Torrence Watson was going to go 30 days between baskets, would you believe me?
No, I really wouldn't. For this team, I would not. He's been such an important part of what they've done in recent years, and we know he has the ability to score and at times has been Missouri's top scorer in a game. So to hear that is really surprising.
Last made field goal was against Tennessee on December the 30th. It's January the 20th, and the Tigers play at Tennessee on the 23rd. And here's a guy who, as you know, is kind of a streak shooter, had a career-high 24 against Chicago State back in December of 19. Ironically, it was December the 30th of 19. It was his career-high, and on December 30th of 20 is the last time he scored a field goal, which, by the way, was a three. But this team can benefit from his ability to come off the bench and be a streaky type shooter, and particularly even get it going. And I think right now the confidence level is such that he's not even looking for shots. I mean, he didn't even attempt a shot last night when I thought he had some opportunities. And you know, great kid. The thing I applaud Torrence Watson for is that this has been a struggle this season. But if you watch who's the first guy to stand up when a guy comes off the court, it's
every
Torrence
time.
Watson. Every time. He's a terrific young man. And I just hope he can find that stroke and find that confidence, because if he can, I think back to, well, let's go back to the last time Missouri won a conference championship, 1994. They had a couple guys coming off the bench that were knockdown shooters, Mark Atkins, Paul Olney. Now, can he be in that category? Well, maybe not right now in his career, maybe eventually, you know, by the time he completes his senior season. But Torrence Watson's a guy that can help this team if he can find some confidence shooting the ball.
Well, that's always been a factor of basketball teams who win, right? The player who can come in, and you know, if you want to get a look and you want to get somebody to put it in the microwave for you, that they can come in and provide that spark. And I think Torrence can do that. You see it in his manner on the bench with the way he has been a teammate this season. And if you've never watched Missouri's bench, go ahead and do it sometime and see when someone's coming off the floor, like Jeremiah Tillman on a couple of occasions last night. The first guy there is Torrence Watson. He has embraced that role on this team. The role he could accept or grow into, I agree with you, Mike, could be more than that. We know he is certainly capable of doing so, and I hope it comes around. And if it comes around at the right time of year, when that calendar turns to the third month, it adds another dimension to this team.
Yeah, just 3 of 11 this year shooting the ball from 3. And I don't know that if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season that I would have believed you, that, mm-hmm. that was actually possible. But, you know, as Konzo has said multiple times, Torrence is finally putting in the work that the other guys are putting in, you know, outside of the practice, trying to work on his game, trying to find the stroke, trying to find confidence. Mm-hmm. And I just – every time I look at a lineup, right, when I look at a lineup, when you make substitutions outside the starting five, a lot of times I'm wondering in my mind, who are the scorers? In this set of five, who are your scorers? And Torrence Watson can be a guy that can be one of those scorers that you can count on. But you know, right now it's just an adventure for him.
Yeah, and I feel, too, that with there being some newness to the team, a lot of familiarity, but some newness in the way that the game flow has gone, in the way Missouri wants to push the tempo, sometimes a player could find himself a little bit wondering, well, where am I in all this? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I know that's happened with Torrence Watson, but you could make the case that perhaps that has. And finding that place and knowing and feeling secure in it might be the first step to greater things that you can build upon. Hopefully it's there for him. Hopefully it's there for the Tigers, because I see several others who have, I think, now kind of realized where they fit into this whole puzzle.
And, you know, John Sundeville used to say it, I think, the best, and still does, in that, you know, you got to know what you do, right? Mm-hmm. You got to know what your strengths are. And guys make it to the next level because they understand what they do the best. If they're a rebounder, they rebound. If they're a rebounder and defender, that's what they do. If they're a guy that's a shooter, then that's what they're ready to do at all times, come in and knock down shots. And, you know, again, I think the world of the young man. I think he's a great teammate. He's got an infectious personality and a smile, and just I want him to find success and just have one of those games before the season comes to an end.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. And to the point of talking about Missouri's bench, Javon Pickett is waking up, isn't he? Woke up at Texas A&M, had himself, I think, another 8-point night in this game against South Carolina, and I feel like he's getting more aggressive with the basketball to the rim with that floater. And if that's your shot and it works, go ahead and get it. You know, like you said, find your place, find what works, and then it all comes together.
Yeah, interesting note, last two seasons, if he scores in double figures, Missouri's 11-1.
Yeah.
This year, Missouri's 4-0 when he scores in double figures. I thought maybe he settled at times earlier this season at the three-point line. And he's one of those guys that has the ability to slash. Now, he had a play in the game last night called for an offensive foul, just maybe took it just a step too deep. The guy was there to take the charge. But, you know, I think he just is a guy that, again, understands his role on the team. He knows he needs to play tough defense, and he does that. Knows he has to rebound, and he does that. And then from an offensive standpoint, if he finds a gap, if he finds a seam, drives the basketball. I mean, He's a great example, again, as you pointed out, of somebody that kind of understands their value and role.
And now all those roles get tested, right, on Saturday night?
Well, I think the next two games you get tested, you know, and as you look forward to the schedule, you know, if you just watch the league, I mean, there's still some difficult assignments coming up in conference play. I think they're all difficult, but, you know, playing South Carolina again later in the season is going to be difficult. If they get back to full strength, playing Mississippi is going to be difficult. Playing, Florida is always a difficult assignment, you know, but going to Tennessee, who, oh, by the way, just went 17 of 58 from the field, and 3 of 18 from 3 and got absolutely boat raced at Florida last night. They're going to be a little bit ready to play after beating you by 20 earlier in the season. And then Auburn's just always been a difficult place for Missouri to play. Now, Auburn's had talent under Bruce Pearl, right? And, you know, so the next two are I think, if you're not ready – and if you're not focused, then it could be long evenings on both accounts.
You know, I wonder how much you review what happened at Mizzou Arena against Tennessee. If you're Konzo Martin, do you take that and do you self-scout it? Or do you say that was just a game where we didn't play our best? Because after that game, Coach was like, well, you know, we have to have a little bit more want to. We kind of said it in the days afterwards. And I think that's an interesting facet to this. Like, we know what Tennessee can do. We figure they'll try to use much of the similar style. They'll try to clog up the lane. Does Missouri take something away from that and try to scout their own tendencies in that game? Or do they say, hey, if we do our thing, we can hang with these guys. We just didn't do our thing that night.
Yeah, and, you know, John Fulkerson was Tennessee's best player on the court last night against Florida. He's a guy that gave Missouri fits. You know, and as you look at him physically, 6'9", 210, 215 pounds, not a guy that you would think that is going to be that, you know, that – how do I say it? Efficient, you know, and he's just a good basketball player. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a guy that gave Tillman fits. But to your point, I think one of the things that you do is, and I'm not telling Konzo how to prepare his team. Don't get me wrong, but you know, is this who we are first half against Tennessee, or is this who we are first half against Mississippi State?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are we? You know, what's our identity? And you know, then finding that level of consistency. And you know, I look at the last couple of games, took the lead, you know, with a run against Texas A&M to take the lead, never gave it back. They got within 7 at one point in time, stretched it back out, you win by 16. Last night you build an 18-point lead. At one point they got it to 10, you win by 11. So the lead was never really in jeopardy, which I think speaks to teams that know how to close out games, and this team I think is learning how to do that. It's just – you know, getting to that point that's so important.
I'd agree, and they weathered, I think, a 7-point run. I think at one point it was a 9-2 run if you all counted it last night against Carolina. And what did they do? They got 5 points to answer.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to do. You just need a couple of buckets to answer and then reassess and say, okay, we're back in a game flow instead of feeling like the Avalanche is coming at you. And we saw what the results of that could be against Mississippi State in their second half they played. I think that that, in some ways, was a bit of a shake at the shoulders for this team. Like, okay, guys, you got to wake up. You can't let that happen to you again. You're too good for that. And the last couple of games, there have been opportunities for other teams to try to do that same thing, and Missouri has tamped it right down. And I think that establishing a lead some point in that second half against Tennessee is going to be necessary. I don't know that we could see Missouri on the road go all the way back from, say, a 10-down at halftime. It's possible, but it seems difficult against the way that team defends. You're going to have to be within striking distance. You're going to have to establish a lead in the second half, and then can you bring it home and finish the game?
Well, it's all hands on deck, too, right? I mean, you just can't have two guys that play well. You've got to have 5 to 6 guys mm-hmm. that play well to win against that team, I believe. So one of the joys of having an early tip-off was being able to get home last night and watch some of the other games. And I rarely do that, but last night I popped on the Alabama game. I said a week ago, right? What did I tell you? I think they're the best team in the league. They're clearly the best team in the SEC.
Yes.
Clearly the best team in the SEC. And fun style to watch. Got to be a fun style to play. 14 threes at the half, at LSU, just completely embarrassing LSU on its home court. At one point in time, they were up, I think, 42 in the second half before they called off the dogs. Finished with an SEC record 23. I'm telling you, if Nate Oates doesn't call off the dogs, they probably set the NCAA record and have at least 40 threes in the game. They were just launching, man. Just if it feels like leather, let it go. And they were splashing it from everywhere.
Yeah, I think that they are now demonstrably the team that everybody is hunting down in the league, because they can play keep away with their shooting. And three-point shooting is going to carry that team. And when Missouri plays them, it's going to have to be a focus on the three-point line in some form or fashion. How do you keep them from that with what can be a very tenacious defense, as we've seen in Konzo Martin's time? I'm really impressed with them. The way they went on the road and said, we can put two games of distance between ourselves and the next team up. And now LSU stands at 5-2 in the standings. And, oh, by the way, one of those two-loss teams in the league is Missouri. Mm-hmm. So the two-loss group is LSU, Tennessee, Missouri, and Kentucky right now. So that's who's jockeying right now for a double bye in the league. And there will be a lot of time and a lot of games to tell. But as the standings sit today, you're in that caliber. Can you find ways to get games on the road against the likes of a Tennessee? That will determine if you can be next up and see if you can take a shot at Alabama sometime down the road. Yeah, but right now, they're the best.
Well, and the way that John Petty and Herb Jones are playing right now, I think they're playing the best basketball of their career. He was able to blend in some young talent, some really highly recruited kids too. But, Petty's playing at a level that he's not played at from a consistency standpoint. I think you should say the same about Jones. Reese coming off the bench, and he started last night because of the injury to their center. They're fun to watch, man. They really are. I mean, I'm just thinking from a player's perspective, that's got to be a fun style to play in where, you're getting up and down the court. It's basically penetrate and pitch. That's what it is, And they're doing it at a high level.
Yeah, and knowing that your coach has your back when you take a look and maybe, all right, that wasn't my best, that you have the confidence to go out there and do it again and again and again, because that's the offense and that's the style. The only thing I think you can say about that style is when it gets hot, it's really hot. When it gets cold sometimes, it feels like it is frigid. And can somebody make Alabama cold for long enough in a game to doubt that shooting? I haven't seen it yet. I'm not saying it will happen. But can it happen? I think that's a question still to be answered by someone before it's all said and done.
One of the things, too, about LSU that stands out to me, and I thought this early on, and then looking at their game against South Carolina earlier on Saturday where, they win 85-80. They win because they score the basketball at a very high rate, right? It's not attention to defense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not attention to detail on the defensive end. And you saw that last night. They got exposed defensively by Alabama. Just got absolutely exposed. And that's the one thing that if you think about matchups moving forward, where has Missouri been consistent, right? For the most part, with the exception of the second half against LSU, it's defending, right? And mm-hmm. and being able to take the comfort level away from the opposition. And so that's a favorable thing moving forward for this team.
I believe that the defensive philosophy will serve well, and it's Konzo Martin's DNA, and he's made it this team's DNA, and they showed it again last night. It's now being blended with an ability to score the basketball and hang with some of those teams where all they want to do is score it, and they don't care how many times they shoot it and go after it. We'll try to find a way around your defense if we just do volume. Missouri will be served well in games, and I would say, too, in games against teams that don't pay attention to those details, you have an edge. You have an upper hand. We've seen teams win total rock fights in college basketball, even in recent years. So you can do that. You just have to add layers to it. And I think that's what the Tigers are trying to accomplish. And, you know, unless you have a team that just shoots the lights out of the gym like Alabama does, you're going to have that to be a winning team.
One thing you have to do better, got to take care of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, 16 turnovers a game in the league. I mean,
has Konzo named someone in the family turnover yet? I mean, he joked that he might do it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in just the rate of turnovers. And by veteran players. And, you know, assist turnover ratio is something I always look at. And, you know, Xavier Pinson, 37 assists, 36 turnovers. Drew Smith in SEC, 15 assists, 16 turnovers. Mark Smith, 11 assists, 27 turnovers.
Yeah.
You've got to be better. You've got to value the ball. And they know that. I mean, sometimes it's just, it's trying to make the creative instead of the fundamental, right? Last night, Drew Smith tries to rifle a ball over his shoulder from the right wing to the left wing, and it ends up in the third row. Or would it be the third row officially? The way that the current configuration of the arena is.
I guess technically it just
is
no man's land.
Just
right
no
now,
man's
yeah.
land. Yeah. So, you know, that has to be cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that there is an element of that that can be lived with. But over time, if you play really good, efficient teams on the offensive end, those turnovers will come back to bite you. And some of them are coming on offensive fouls, on player control fouls, too. And aggression is good, but having it lead to that, at some point it gets to be a chicken and egg thing. Like, well, how much is too much? Missouri will have to put a tamper on that because eventually, you know, someone down the road, even if it's in March, which is where we hope this all comes to, is going to find a way to exploit you for that.
You know, I mentioned this earlier. Missouri's last conference championship was in 1994. The head coach of that team was?
Norm Stewart.
Right. And guess who celebrates number 86 today?
That would be one Norm Stewart.
The most famous man to ever come out of Shelbyville, Missouri.
I would argue that is true. Yeah.
So happy birthday to Coach Stewart. But I think about it, and, you know, how remarkable is that? He's the last head coach in Missouri to win a conference championship in basketball.
Yeah, that is pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And to think about where things have gone since then is even crazier to think about, right? I mean, once it was 8, and then it was 12, and now it's a whole other league with 14 teams, and hasn't happened yet. But I think it'll happen here again. Kentucky doesn't live on top for forever. Tennessee doesn't live on top for forever. There'll be conference championships coming to Mizzou.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it won't happen.
No,
I'm just saying that it's staggering when you enter this league as a basketball school. You know, the anticipation was you were going to win the league quickly, mm-hmm. and it didn't happen, right? So, you know, and in fact, you know, the highest finish was tied for fourth, Konzo Martin's first year. So, opportunity to finish, I think, in the top four this year. We'll see what happens, but still a lot to talk about. Speaking of a lot to talk about, why don't we take a break? We'll regroup, and we'll figure out what we're going to talk about after this from our friends at Shelter Insurance.
Growing up, my parents always encouraged me to do what's right, even if it wasn't easy. I'd always hear my mother's voice say, "Do the right thing." That stuck with me. Every day, just do the right thing. That's it. The rest takes care of itself.
At Shelter Insurance, we believe in doing the right thing for our customers and our communities. For award-winning claims and sales service, find an agent at shelterinsurance.com. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
With Matt Michaels, Mike Kelly, the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast, presented each and every week from our friends at Shelter Insurance. And visit a local agent or find them on the web, shelterinsurance.com. We're your shield. We're your shelter. Brian Smith, we visited with him on Tiger Talk last week. Goes up to Iowa State, picks up a couple of big wins this week as his team continues to move up in the national rankings. So congratulations to him.
And they continue to find ways to do what he's always talked about, which is score bonus points, put people on their back, the things that need to happen in a national tournament. It's like the whole season is a preparation for that. Alan Hart was just named the MAC Wrestler of the Week for the second time in this short season, and he's dominating 141. He just beat the fourth-ranked wrestler in the country this past weekend up in Ames, and I do not see that slowing down at all. They have Friday to come here. It'll be Ohio and Northern Illinois, so a couple in the conference, and Missouri's done very well with those in recent years. And it's all about sustaining it until you get those opportunities for the individuals to wrestle people who are ranked, wrestle their way up into the tournament, and hopefully by the time we get there, 10 for 10 in St. Louis, and then on to the really fun stuff.
When does the gymnastics team perform again?
The gymnastics team is Friday night. They got Kentucky at the Hearn Center at 6. And by the way, I talked to Shannon Welker.
Did you?
Earlier this week. And
breaking news?
Yeah, big breaking news. I asked him if, like, a hair was out of place or something in that loss to Alabama. Like, did a judge just not see a sequin on right? Because they lost by the slimmest margin you possibly can. It's a 0.025 is the measures of gradient, and Missouri unfortunately fell to Alabama on Friday night by 0.025.
He had to feel pretty good, though, about opening the season like that. I mean, yeah. Alabama's a traditional power, right?
Yeah, and they are. And what he said that the team needed to do is have the routine to start off their sequence be, you know, a 9-8 instead of a 9-6. They just need a little bit stronger starts, and the team's getting stronger, and they got some athletes back, of course. They've been dealing with injuries and things like that. So I would expect that they stay very competitive against Kentucky here and on throughout the season. You know, dual wins or head-to-head wins in the SEC are so difficult to come by in that sport because everybody is top 15 and top 20, like Missouri is. So individual efforts building throughout the season is the story of their year, and they'll be there when it's all said.
You got a baseball schedule.
An SEC baseball schedule, yes.
Well, it's this baseball schedule, right?
It's a schedule. It's something. It's good.
I mean,
it's
six. You're parsing it now. Well,
it's six preseason ranked weekends is what it is, like it always is. It's wild. But, yeah, it's there. I'm happy about it. It's good. Kentucky first. Kentucky's first home opener in the league since 2012. And who do they send there to Lexington for it? The University of Missouri. Maybe they thought that we had long sleeves, too. I don't know.
Where do you stay when y'all go to Lexington?
It's been different. Last time, actually, we stayed out of town and kind of drove in along the highway. I don't think anything was going on at Keeneland that day, but maybe they just wanted to get away. So it was about a 20 or 30-minute drive last time we went. And that probably ends up being a nice bus trip. So you see a lot of great countryside, see some of that great Kentucky bluegrass. And Lexington, so far, a nice town. And to a new place, too. Missouri will travel in the baseball season, and this is weird because of how the pandemic shut down last year, to three new venues that they haven't seen before.
Hmm.
They will go to Kentucky's new place, Kentucky Proud Park, which opened last year. Florida's got a brand new ballpark that they will be at. Last year, it would not have been. They played at the old McKeithen Stadium, but now it's Florida Ballpark, so they'll get to be as a part of that. I think that one's coming up in April, and then they'll play at the new Duty Noble Field, which has been going around for a couple of years, but Missouri was supposed to go last season, couldn't, and now we'll go this year.
What's your favorite yard in the league?
So far, you know, you think of different ones for different reasons. I really like, from a total atmosphere perspective, I think that LSU is hard to beat. And we didn't have the biggest crowds when I was there with the team most recently. It was an Easter weekend, so it was a little bit more spread out with the students and stuff. But I think when that place gets packed and rocking, and you've seen it before, it is a different type of environment.
I've never seen it in person. I've seen it on TV. Yeah.
Arkansas is much the same way. I think that stadium is nice for I think Arkansas, in terms of the atmosphere, could be – an even nicer atmosphere when it's all full. I really do like Ole Miss and Swayze Field. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know it's Swayze Field, part of the reason that they have all the students out beyond right field, right? And part of the reason you see a shower of sudsy beverages whenever they hit a home run there, it's because that area is technically not a part of campus. That area is owned by the surrounding county. And so they have a gate, and they have a 21 and over gate, and they have an 18 to 21 student gate. Hmm. And you get to go in and bring your personal effects in the 21 and older gate, and those personal effects end up in a red cup. They actually have a red solo cup race between a red, white, and blue solo cup, like between innings, like a minor league ballpark. And then when someone hits a home run, everybody ends up with sudsy beverages on themselves because they found a way to make the rules interesting.
Have you ever wondered or wanted to be a part of that sudsy race? You know, as you're sitting there broadcasting a game, you ever wanted to do that?
You know, the sudsy races are fine. I did one time at Taylor Stadium participate in the hot dog and taco race.
Were you the hot dog or the taco?
I think I was the hot dog because there is video of me hamming it up, even though there's not ham in a hot dog, hamming it up across the finish line to try to sell to the crowd because I knew what my job was. Everybody else just runs around, and I was the arch villain. So I ran, and I kind of like cheered early and then looked over my shoulder, gave myself a time to dramatically slow
up, and I dove across the finish line. Stop. Let's bring this thing back on the rails.
Okay.
Because no one cares about that, honestly. With all due respect, no one
This
cares.
Is one of my greatest athletic achievements,
yes,
Mike.
Yeah, yeah. And as I fell off a BOSU ball today, that was one of my favorite athletic achievements. So, Tennessee football, a little interesting these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You knew when they leaked the story, sources within the athletic department say that an internal investigation is going on. You knew Jeremy Pruitt's days were numbered at that point in time. You know, so they make the announcement, multiple violations within the program. Pruitt gets fired with cause, costs him, I think, $15 million on the buyout. Lawyers will sort that out as they move through the court process because, you know, that's headed to some type of a resolution that's going to come through the courts. Philip Fulmer retiring, cut off at the knees. Let's just be honest about it, right? Unsanctimoniously kind of said, okay, move on. Retire now, Philip. It's going to be interesting moving forward. What happens once this gets to the NCAA? How much information actually comes out? And is it true that the McDonald's bags were full of cash, as was reported by an outlet earlier this week?
Dan Patrick's source said that. I will be very clear in saying it was Dan Patrick's source, but that's everybody's like joke on social media today, right? I don't know whether that's true or not, but I will say this. If there was...
Clearly, if that's the case, there wasn't enough in the bag.
Man, there's all sorts of brand-related jokes, but I'm not going there. If that happened, and if it happened as bad as has been alleged in some places, how does Tennessee... There's no way they can avoid a fate that involves postseason bans, right? For their football program, maybe multiple seasons. Like, that is just as brazen as it gets, if it is as alleged.
That's SMU quality type of violations.
Right. And the thing to me is that the university came out and shared everybody its letter to Jeremy Pruitt that said, we believe you've been at the helm of a program that will cost student-athletes their eligibility and has exposed us to serious NCAA sanction. The university, in its letter by releasing it, has basically said, we expect to get a hammer. We expect it. So now who are you going to bring into your program to lead at that time at the head of your athletic department and at the head of your football program? Somebody who obviously has to be invested for the long haul, right? Because the way the NCAA meets out its justice these days, as folks at Missouri well know, it can be a laborious process, it can be a frustrating process, and it can be one you don't agree with at the end. But if it is as alleged right now, at least in one place publicly today, how does that not end up in multiple seasons of major penalties? I don't know.
Well, you know, show cause, right? If you're Jeremy Pruitt, and if all of this is indeed proven accurate, you're probably going to get a show cause penalty attached with it too.
Mm-hmm.
So that impacts his ability to earn in the future as well.
I know it's not an apples and oranges thing with any case in the NCAA, and they say that all the time, but if I look at that when this is all said and done, and if the facts come out, and they are the facts that you alluded to, it boggles my mind that there would not be penalties at least on par with what we saw here in Colombia for a completely different set of violations. It doesn't make any sense anymore if that happens to me. It just doesn't.
Yeah. So it's a stay tuned on that front. And yeah. But, you know, it is interesting that you could tell that the wheels were in motion going back to that infamous sources inside the athletic department say that there's an internal investigation that has begun. You knew that we're kind of heading in this direction.
And if you didn't know then, with hindsight, certainly you know now, when Kevin Steele was announced as a defensive, not even assistant coach, as like someone on the defensive staff in
caretaker.
The last couple of weeks. Yeah. When Jeremy Pruitt saw that, he probably knew for sure, if he had any question, what was going to happen.
Yeah, so I think on both fronts, it's going to be interesting to see who they can attract from an athletic director standpoint because, again, you know, huge program, huge budget, obviously a very passionate fan base, but some issues moving forward that obviously you have to address. And, you know, and then how are you going to be impacted financially moving forward, you know, when you get through all this as well and trying to put together – a quality coach and a quality staff. I just, you know, it's I'm just curious how many years the program has been set back now. I mean, when Missouri won the East in back-to-back seasons, what did the old guard in the SEC say?
Is
Tennessee's not what they used to be. Yeah, but, you know, Florida's not what they used to be. Yeah, but, well, South Carolina. You know, y'all just kind of entered at the right time. That's what the old guard wanted, not really giving you due respect for the teams that you put together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just right time, right circumstance. So I'm just curious how much longer is it going to take Tennessee? How long will it take them to recover from this?
Well, they will make it their number one priority. We know that. And it's been said in recent years that it has been, and now it's coming out that maybe it has been the number one priority in ways that were not completely above board, right? So it is frustrating for a very proud fan base to find themselves there. I think the advantages Tennessee has are great. They do have an excellent, engaged fan base across their state. They have an excellent local community there that will support them, and the finances probably work themselves out one way or the other. The question will be, do they find the person that can bring stability and a little bit of harmony to that program and have them all pulling in the same direction? Because I think what Tennessee might be suffering from, Mike, is lack of everybody pulling in the same direction and agendas pulling people different ways, and you can't really pull forward when you have that. It's tough.
Could be delusion too.
I mean, yeah, just a touch. You got to accept your circumstances before you can really build upon it.
Women's basketball loses a heartbreaker.
Yeah,
you know they fight for 40 minutes. They get it close. I say 40 minutes. They fight for the allotted amount of time. Is it 40 minutes in women's basketball? 40 minutes. 10 four-minute quarters, right?
You got it.
Yeah, okay. So they fight for 40 minutes but against LSU, came back from a deficit, lose by two, but now Texas A&M comes to town.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good program.
Yeah, and I just feel like in this league with women's hoops, you have to have your best game just about every night to have success. And it was frustrating for Missouri to find themselves at the end of that coming up short. It was a furious and really incredible comeback to get there. They're still putting the pieces together there with Robin Pinchton, and I still believe there will be success at the end of the season, but the process of getting there might involve games like this and learning lessons like this. And so you have A&M coming up on Sunday, then at Florida, and that might be a little bit of something where you can have some good feelings coming out of, you hope, for the club. And then Kentucky is nationally ranked and one of the best in the country. They're about top 10 quality for me. Then Arkansas, and then South Carolina after that Florida game. And you think of those three, and that's three that are right there at the top of women's college hoops this year. So the building will be difficult. Man, you get a win in this league, you feel pretty good that night. You sleep well at night, and I think the wins will be coming. But, man, they're going to have to come against some tough competition going forward.
So we wish them the best as they get set to take on Texas A&M coming up this weekend. Good?
Yeah, good.
Great to see you.
You too.
It's Matt Michaels. I'm Mike Kelly. Thanks for listening to the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast presented by our friends at Shelter Insurance.
This has been Inside Mizzou Athletics with Mike Kelly, brought to you by Shelter Insurance. Find an agent for your auto, home, and life at shelterinsurance.com. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.